So for the pleasure of their lordships, Sri Sri Krishna Balaram, Sri Sri Radha Shyamasunta, Lalita Devi, Vishakha Devi, Sri Sri Gaurinitai, Srila Prabhupada, and all the assembled devotees, I'll try to say something worthwhile, bona fide, encouraging, inspiring, to help us all in our Krishna consciousness and for my own personal purification. Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 24, entitled Matsya, the Lord's Fish Incarnation, Text 51. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So please repeat after me. Jano Janasya Dishate Satim Gatim. Yaya prapadyeta durajayam tamaha. Tvam tvavayayam jnanam amogam anjasa. Prapadyate yena jano nijam padam. Please repeat after me. Janaha. A person who is not a bona fide guru, an ordinary person. Janasya, of an ordinary person who does not know the goal of life. Adishate, instructs. Asatim, impermanent, material. Gatim, the goal of life. Yaya, by such knowledge, prapadyeta, he surrenders. Durachayam, insurmountable. Tamaha, to ignorance. Tvam, your lordship. To, but. Avyayam, indestructible. Jnanam, knowledge. Amogam, without material contamination. Anjasa, very soon. Prapadyate, achieves. Yena, by such knowledge. Janaha, a person. Nijam, his own. Padam, original position. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. A materialistic so-called guru instructs his materialistic disciples about economic development and sense gratification. And because of such instructions, the foolish disciples continue in the materialistic existence of ignorance. But your lordship gives knowledge that is eternal, and the intelligent person receiving such knowledge is quickly situated in his original constitutional position. Please repeat after me. A materialistic so-called guru instructs his materialistic disciples about economic development and sense gratification. And because of such instructions, the foolish disciples continue in the materialistic existence of ignorance. But your lordship gives knowledge that is eternal. And the intelligent person receiving such knowledge is quickly situated in his original constitutional position. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. So-called gurus instruct instruct their disciples for the sake of material profit. Some guru advises that one meditate in such a way that his intelligence will increase in regard to keeping his body fit for sense gratification. Another guru advises that sex is the ultimate goal of life and that one should therefore engage in sex to the best of his ability. These are the instructions of foolish gurus. In other words, because of the instructions of a foolish guru, one remains perpetually in material existence and suffers its tribulations. But if one is intelligent enough to take instructions from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as enunciated in Bhagavad Gita or the Sankhya philosophy of Kapiladev, one can very soon attain liberation and be situated in his original position of spiritual life. The words Nija Padam are significant. The living entity, being part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has the birthright to a position in Vaikuntha Loka, or the spiritual world, where there is no anxiety. Therefore, one should follow the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Chaktva deham puna janma naiti mam eti sojana. After giving up one's body, one will return home back, back to Godhead. The Lord lives in the spiritual world in his original personality, and a devotee who follows the instructions of the Lord approaches him, mam eti. As a spiritual person, such a devotee returns to the personality of Godhead and plays and dances with him. That is the ultimate goal of life. Om Gyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksho Minitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karati Vachalam Pangam Langayate Girim Yad Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sva Padantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paschatadesha Tarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Ti Namine Shri Vashabhanavi Devi Dayityaya Kripabdeye Krishna Sambandha Vigyana Dayane Prabhave Namaha Madhurya Jvala Premadya Shri Rupanuga Bhaktida Shri Gora Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Srimataye Dinatarine Rupanuga Virudapi Siddhanta Dvanta Harine Namo Go Kishoraya Sakshadvaragya Murtaye Vipralambara Sambode Padambu Jayate Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sachidananda Namine Gora Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate Guravi Baba Bhumeshtvam Nidasa Sajana Priyaha Vaishnava Savaboma Shri Jagannathayate Namaha Vancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Goratvishe Namaha Panchatavamakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktyakam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabando Jagapate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kantam Namostute Jayatam Surato Pango Mama Mande Mate Gati Matsavasva Padambojo Radha Madana Mohano Divyadvindaranya Kalpadrumada Srimadra Nagara Simhasanasto Srimadrada Srila Govinda Devo Pristalibi Sevyamano Smarami Sriman Rasa Rasamrambi Vamsi Vata Tatastitaha Kashan Venus Vene Gopir Gopinatha Sriestunaha Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare Jano janasa adishe satim gatim yaya prapajeta durachayam tama tvam tvavyayam gyanam amogamanjasa prapajate yena jano nijam padam. A materialistic so-called guru instructs his materialistic disciples about economic development and sense gratification. And because of such instructions, the foolish disciples continue in the materialistic existence of ignorance. But your lordship gives knowledge that is eternal. And the intelligent person receiving such knowledge is quickly situated in his original constitutional position. So we're reading about Maharaj Satyavata's prayers to Matsyadeva. And this is very appropriate at this time because in 3 weeks' time we have Balaram Jayanti. Lord Balaram's appearing, and he is the original guru. And so we have eight verses, 46 to 53. We're getting to the end of his prayers, glorifying the Lord as the spiritual master, the supreme spiritual master. So, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada talks about false gurus or pseudo gurus. So we'll talk a little bit about that. What is a false guru, a pseudo guru? In actual fact, really, there can be no such guru. Is guru, and it means that he is directly the representative of Krishna. So. Really, the word guru cannot be applied to anybody except somebody who's a bona fide representative of the Lord. But still, for the sake of understanding, we can discuss about those who purport to be gurus but are not genuine gurus. And then the verse speaks about the knowledge that the Lord gives. The knowledge is eternal, or as it says in the word for word, or avyayam, indestructible. So the knowledge that the Lord gives is indestructible. So a real guru, a genuine guru, satguru, he actually gives indestructible knowledge, which will stay with us forever. It's not relative knowledge. Relative knowledge is changing. It's just in relation to whatever situation you find yourself to be in. Everything in the material world is relative, actually. Everything's always changing. And our position, our circumstances, time, place, everything's always changing. So therefore, the temptation is, if one is a materialistic person, to consider that truth is relative. It's according to my perspective, your perspective, somebody else's perspective. Truth is what you see it to be. That's what pseudo-gurus, especially New Age, kind of Western-style gurus. Whatever you like, that is truth. But that is not the real truth. We're looking for absolute truth. The absolute truth that never changes. If you have absolute truth, it means you can guide your life. You can you can live your life according to that absolute truth, according to the principles that are given, that are unchanging, wherever you happen to be, whatever situation you are in, whatever time you're in, whatever place you are, whatever age you are, whatever body you have, these truths are always true. And therefore you can rely on them. And it is our duty as a human being, Atato Brahma Jigyasa, that now we have the human form of life, now is the time to inquire about the absolute truth. Because only in the human form of life are we capable of understanding truth. We have the opportunity to rise beyond the modes of material nature and come to the eternal truth. And therefore, the final point in this verse and purport, therefore we can actually finally attain our original constitutional position. Nijam padam. Yes, our original constitutional position. So now we're not in our original constitutional position. We are in a temporary position. And that position is a position of suffering. And therefore, it behooves us as human beings to inquire about the absolute truth. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. So, who are some false gurus? Well, I've written a few here. The first one that came to mind was Putana. Because Putana is described by Bhaktivinoda Thakur as the false or pseudo-guru. So, in his Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita, he explains about all the different gurus, different demons that come to Vrindavan to try to kill Krishna. An impossible task, but still, he says that, or Bhaktivinoda Thakur has explained how the demons Lord Krishna killed in Vrindavan represent the main obstacles facing the aspiring devotee. If by the Lord's grace, these demons can be killed in the various ways they manifest themselves in our lives, then our progress in devotional service is guaranteed. So, these demons, they don't just come in Boma Vrindavan when Krishna is present, sent by Kamsa, but they actually come also to us. I'll explain in what way. So, we're actually covered. Now, the reason why we need a guru, a genuine guru, is because currently we're covered by the modes of material nature. And there are five coverings given by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, which actually keep us under control and under these modes of material nature. The first is avidya, ignorance, mistaking the impermanent for the permanent. It's also called tamaha, or darkness in self-knowledge. It's described like, I'm sure none of you go to the cinema. Do you go to watch Hollywood movies? I don't think so, but maybe in the past you did. So when you go into the cinema where the film is going to be shown, what do they do first of all? They dim the lights, because that takes you out of your normal consciousness. It helps you to get into a different mood, and then the pictures start rolling. And you start becoming absorbed in the film or the whatever it is you're watching. So that is the first stage of ignorance, avidya or tamaha, darkness in self-knowledge. It means actually we forget our true nature, our swarup, who we really are. The next is called asmita, or false ego. Not only do we just forget who we really are, the swarup, our spiritual identity, but we start to identify with something we're not. We identify with the body. We start thinking we're the body. The film is really getting gripping here in the cinema. This is also called, in the Bhagavatam, moham, the illusory bodily conception, forgetfulness of one's real identity. Next comes raga, that's attachment, the desire for material happiness and the means to achieve it. And this is actually what the pseudo-gurus promise, that you can be happy in this material world. You just have to, like Srila Prabhupada was saying in the purport, keep your body fit. Then you can have wonderful sense gratification. You can have wonderful sex life. But these things, sense gratification of any type, of which sex life some people consider is the topmost sense gratification. That's why I assume that Srila Prabhupada in this purport was talking about some specific gurus who actually went to America and were preaching in this way. You should, you know, just let it all happen. Enjoy yourself. There's no point in restricting. That just leads to frustration. So this is raga, attachment, or maha moham, false proprietorship of enjoyable objects, possessiveness. So, of course, we possess nothing. The soul comes into this world embodied with nothing and leaves this world with nothing. So actually, we own nothing. We are not the controllers, we're not the owners. Ishvasyam idam sarvam. That the Lord is the owner and controller of everything. Next comes dvesha, or hatred. Hatred of unhappiness and the causes of it. So, nobody wants to be unhappy. So, when we find that the attachment for material happiness doesn't bring us happiness, we become angry. And we become frustrated. Like that. This is also called, in the Bhagavatam, tamishram, anger upon frustration. When one's enjoyment is frustrated or obstructed. And then finally, there's abhinivesh, which is absorption in bodily existence, including fear of death, or also called anda tamishram. It's an unconscious state brought about by anger, sense of death. So, having been placed into illusion, this very deep illusion, we just suffer lifetime after lifetime. So, the first demon that comes to try to kill Krishna, sent by Kamsa, is Putana. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that Putana represents the pseudo-guru. This pseudo-guru may appear in one of or both of two forms. A deceitful so-called guru who preaches sense gratification, or liberation, or both. So that's what Prabhupada was referring to. Those gurus in the past, I don't know if they probably still do exist actually, but not so famous maybe, who are saying just enjoy yourself. In fact, eat, drink and be merry. That is the philosophy. So that is a deceitful so-called guru. In some cases, this may be a person who's engaged in some Krishna conscious activity but has not realized the course of pure devotional service and tries to give instructions to his disciples beyond his own understanding or without regard for their situation. So these are some of the symptoms of a false guru. Not only does he preach sense gratification or liberation, because liberation is, we understand, is not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is to learn how to love Krishna and to go back home to be with Krishna, to serve Krishna with love and devotion. But such a guru actually has not realized the course of pure devotional service. And he tries to give instructions to his disciples beyond his own understanding, or, even if he does have understanding, beyond the understanding or the qualification of his disciples. So that is a deceitful guru. A genuine guru must give instructions according to the qualifications of his disciple, not just a blanket. He has to actually he has to understand his disciple and give the medicine, the spiritual medicine, according to that. Now, another very interesting manifestation of the pseudo-guru is internal. The internally manifest spiritual guide in the form of the mundane empiric reasoning faculty. That's also like Putana. Somebody has said that if you accept yourself as a guru, you accept a fool as a disciple. If you accept yourself as a guru, you accept a fool as a disciple, because you can't be a guru of yourself. But this is actually, there are many people who actually have this idea. I don't need any intermediary between me and God. It's just me and God. Actually, this is kind of a Kanishtha attitude, that that it's, I'm worshipping the Lord, I'm speaking personally to the Lord, I'm serving the Lord. It's just me and Him. And nobody else counts. The other devotees don't count so much. So, I had to finish quite soon because it's Lokanath Goswami's disappearance day. So I'll just give one or two points about what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says about in a Harmonist article, he says about Putana. The basic idea is that Kamsa represents the chief materialist in the form of aggressive empiricism. Empiricism means the doctrine that all knowledge is derived from sense experience. You can only know things according to your senses. Whatever, people often say that to you, show me God, or unless I see it, I won't believe it. Like that. So that is empiricism. So Kamsa, he wants to suppress the truth before it has time to develop. So Krishna appears in this world, and he's appearing in, a month or 6 weeks' time. A couple of weeks after Lord Balaram. And all these demons are coming to try to suppress the appearance of Krishna. sent by Kamsa, or empiricism, materialistic thinking, to try to suppress the real truth. Because the empiricists, they hate, they have an innate hatred or dislike for anything spiritual. So, but of course, there's no chance, when genuine religion appears, there's no chance that Putana, the false guru, or Kamsa, the empiricist, can actually kill. So it's up to us to accept the true guru, who actually reveals to us this eternal knowledge, this indestructible knowledge which was mentioned in the verse, which is given by the Supreme Lord. So, there are two demons who are killed by Balaram. Anybody can tell me who they are? Pralambasura is one, and you're also thinking of Pralambasura, yeah? Dainukasura. Yeah. So I'm just going to finish. There's a lot more I could say, unfortunately, but time is running short. But in terms of these two demons killed by Lord Balaram, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that there are two demons killed by Balaram, but the contaminations they represent will have to be removed by dint of the devotee's own endeavors. The jackass demon Dainukasura represents the bad mentality of overburdened load carrying. And the Pralambasura demon represents lust for the company of the opposite sex, as well as desire for profit, adoration, and distinction. So, when a devotee endeavors with enthusiasm to remove these contaminations, then by Lord Balaram's mercy, they will be cast far away. Dainukasura causes complete and total ignorance of one's eternal identity. So that's what we were talking about earlier. The five levels of ignorance that we're covered by. It also stimulates foolish misconceptions about the eternal nature of the holy name of the Lord. Plus, it misdirects one with delusions about what is actually worshipable. These contaminations must be cast out through great endeavor on the part of the devotee. The methods of the process of purification are very deep and mysterious. Therefore, it is necessary to learn about them directly from a bona fide spiritual master. So we're very fortunate. We've received knowledge from a bona fide spiritual master, Acharya Srila Prabhupada himself. And also from his disciples. So, and Lord Balaram is the original guru. And those who are bona fide spiritual masters are empowered by Lord Balaram. So when an inspiring devotee takes shelter of the spiritual master, he or she receives some of that transcendental shakti and is thereby able to overcome the influence of Dainukasura. And the same applies for Pralambasura. So I'm going to finish there. Are there any quick questions before I go on to Lokanath Goswami's appearance? Yes.
Thank you very much for a very comprehensive perspective.
Thank you.
My question is
regarding the two demons.
Yeah.
Pralambasura and Dainukasura, who were slain by Lord Balaram. You mentioned that it depends entirely on the sadhaka's endeavor to practice to overcome these. And we understand this way, that the endeavor is based on the fact that the Guru has given him bhajana kriya. Uh-huh. And therefore, since Lord Balaram is representative of the spiritual master, therefore, by that guidance, we'll be able to endeavor on our own, not otherwise.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Nice comment. So, yes, we have to follow the instructions of the guru, basically. That's what you're saying, isn't it?
I'm saying, I'm clarifying.
Yes. No, that's fine. No, that's good. Yeah. Yes, so we have to, if we follow the instructions of guru, then we become empowered. That's a very nice point. Thank you so much. Any other points? Yes, Prabhu.
As you were speaking about Putna,
yeah.
And also Guru, how can we understand this? Someone Putna is speaking
that. Putana comes to Vrindavan, sent by Kamsa to kill Krishna, the absolute truth, try to. But she doesn't look like a demon. She looks very beautiful. She has a very thin waist, and she, in fact, Yashoda and Rohini, ladies of Vrindavan, they actually think maybe this is the goddess of fortune. So, and she's holding a lotus flower, and she's come as a nurse to nurture Krishna. So she's a pretender, isn't she? So the pseudo guru is like that. Does that help? Okay, so in the Vishnu Smriti, this was something like I didn't have time to go into. It describes what is Satguru, real guru, and what is pseudo guru. So the first thing of a pseudo guru is that they actually take logic and reasoning as being the most important thing. Logic and reasoning, like Nyaya. But that's a very tenuous situation to be in, because then you're relying on your own intelligence, your limited experience and your limited intelligence. So that's the first thing. If logic and reasoning is preeminent in the teachings of a so-called guru, then that should be a warning sign for a start. The other thing is, as it says in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, even Satyavrata Maharaj, he also said that a pseudo guru teaches sense gratification and enjoyment of material life. So that's another symptom of a false guru. The other thing is that he wants his disciples to glorify him, treat him like God. But as God, obviously, we should treat the spiritual master like God, as good as God, but he isn't God. But the pseudo guru may say actually that you should I am God, you know. He wants his disciples to glorify him as such. So those are pretty clear indications. But a true guru. A true guru is Kripa Sindhu. He is actually very merciful. He just wants to bless everybody. He wants everybody to get real knowledge. And he sacrifices himself entirely for this. He's not trying to accumulate wealth, a comfortable life, comfortable houses in different continents of the world, which actually happens these days. He's satisfied in himself as well. He doesn't need that glorification that a pseudo guru wants. He's always situated in the mode of goodness or sattva gun or vishuddha sattva. And he's always ready to benedict others. He's able to dispel illusion. And he's always busy doing his duty. He's not. He's never lazy. You know, shirking his duties, always at every moment, just like we see, you know, our ISKCON gurus, many, like Jayapataka Maharaj, for instance, even though he's so handicapped physically these days, still every minute is actually devoted to. I've heard that he doesn't have a spare minute to himself. Everything is just devoted to serving his disciples and all the devotees of ISKCON, like that. And of course, the main thing is that he's actually just repeating Krishna, his guru and Krishna's instructions, like Srila Prabhupada also said in the purport as well. Hare Krishna. Okay, so it's Lokanath Goswami's appearance day, so I'll try to speak something about Lokanath Goswami. There's something from here, Bhakti Ratnakar, first Taranga. In that it said, "I worship Sri Lokanath Prabhu, the son of Padmanabha, who possessed great wealth of devotion to Sri Sri Radhavinod and always engaged in their service. Sri Lokanath Goswami was born in the village of Talkari within the district of Jessore, Bangladesh." Many of our acharyas actually came from what is now Bangladesh. "He was the son of Sri Padmanabha Bhattacharya and his wife Sri Sita Devi. Talkahari can be reached from Sonakali and Kejura." So his father was a devoted follower of Advaita Acharya. His younger brother was called Prakalbra Bhattacharya, and his descendants are still residing at Talkahari. But from his very childhood, Lokanath was not interested in worldly affairs. So he decided to leave and go to Navadvip to have darshan of Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Lord Gaurasunda was very happy to see Lokanath and embraced him very lovingly and instructed him to go to Vrindavan as soon as possible. Lokanath was very unhappy because he knew that Lord Chaitanya would soon take sannyas. He was very aggrieved at this. But Mahaprabhu consoled him and told him that they would meet again in Vrindavan. So he paid his obeisances to Mahaprabhu. The all-omniscient Lord lovingly embraced him, and after explaining some hidden truths to him, he instructed him to go to Vrindavan. And he set out for Vrindavan and never returned home. But he was greatly afflicted by separation from the Lord. On his way to Vrindavan, he toured many holy places and finally arrived in Vrindavan. Lokanath Maharaj heard about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu going on tour in South India. And so he wanted to meet him. But by the time he got to the place, Mahaprabhu had already left for Prayag. He was extremely sad. Again, he missed the darshan of his Prabhu. So he decided to leave for Prayag. But he had a dream. Mahaprabhu came to console Lokanath and requested him to stay in Vrindavan. Thus, he remained at Vrajadham, not wanting to neglect the order of Mahaprabhu. He stayed alone, his presence unknown to anyone. But after some days, he met the dear disciples of Mahaprabhu, Sri Rupa, Sri Sanatan, Sri Gopal Bhatta, Sri Bhugaba, and others. They were all very affectionate to one another, and it was as though they were of one mind. He was the eldest of all the Goswamis. He was always intensely absorbed in loving ecstatic mellows. In Hari Bhakti Vilas, it says, "I worship Srimati Lokanath and Srimad Krishna Das Kaviraj, who have taken shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Govinda, who are very dear to Sri Vrindavan." Lokanath Goswami used to visit the many places of Krishna's pastimes within Vrajadham, and in this way he was always absorbed in intense ecstasy. Lokanath came to the banks of Kishori Kund within the village of Umrao by the side of Chatrabon and remained there for a few days. He very much wanted to be able to worship the deity form of the Lord. And Lord Krishna, who is within the heart of everyone, presented a deity form of himself to Lokanath to worship. That deity is named Radhavinod. Having received this deity, Lokanath looked to see who had brought him. But seeing no one present, he began to reflect on the mystery of his appearance. Seeing Lokanath deep in thought, Radhavinod laughed. "Who would have brought me here? I have come myself. I live here on the banks of Kishori Kund, and this is my village, Umrao. Now please give me something to eat. Lokanath was beside himself with bliss, and being immersed in that ecstasy, he prepared some foodstuffs and offered them to Radha Vinod. Then he made a bed of flowers and made the deity lie down to take rest. He found the deity with some leaves and meditated on massaging the lotus feet of his Lord. Having surrendered his body, mind, and very life itself, he was totally absorbed, as though drinking a flow of honey-like nectar. Okay, there's not so much more, so I'll finish it off. Lokanath Goswami had no permanent abode. Some Brajavasi villagers wanted to build a little hut for him, but he wouldn't agree. He made a bag for Radha Vinod, which he kept around his neck. Radha Vinod was as though a rare gem suspended on a necklace round the neck of Lokanath. His activities represented the crest jewel of asceticism, and other Goswamis managed to keep him in their company only by great endeavor. When Mahaprabhu and some of the other Goswamis began their pastimes of disappearance, Lokanath maintained his life only due to the desire of Mahaprabhu. He initiated Narottam Das Thakur Mahashay in the divine mantra. And he didn't take any other disciples. And Narottam Das Thakur served his spiritual master, Lokanath Goswami, very, very carefully. In the morning, he would clean the place where his guru passed stool and urine. Lokanath Goswami, having become quite advanced in years, entered into his eternal pastimes while residing at Kadir Bun. There is a large lake there called Sri Yugal Kund, on the banks of which his samadhi has been established. His worshipable deities, Sri Sri Radha Vinod, are at present being worshipped in Jaipur, Rajasthan. His Pushpa Samadhi is within the courtyard of Sri Gokulananda Mandir. It is said that Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami approached Lokanath Goswami for his blessings, and any information that he might be able to supply in order that he might satisfactorily compose Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. At that time, Lokanath forbade Kaviraj Goswami to mention his name or describe anything about him. In order to honor the request of this great Vaishnava, he therefore didn't write anything about him. His disappearance is on the eighth day of the bright fortnight in the month of Shravan, today. Final paragraph. Sri Narottam Das Thakur Mahashay has prayed at the lotus feet of his guru as follows. O my Lord Lokanath, please keep me at your feet, and if it pleases you, please let your glance of mercy fall upon me. I have a great longing that my mind's desires might be fulfilled. Wherever one gets the association of Lord Chaitanya, there also he gets the association of Sri Sri Radha Krishna. If you are not merciful to me, then who will be? This time, please fulfill my mind's desires. In the three worlds, I have no other than you. Please keep me near your lotus feet, where I might hear day and night your songs describing the Leela of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Without you, the desire of Narottam cannot be fulfilled. Srila Lokanath Goswami Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. So we can pray to Lokanath Goswami in the way that Narottam Das Thakur did. That he can help us to get the association of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and thus also get the association of Sri Sri Radha Krishna. Hare Krishna.